The first reading is from Matthew chapter 15, that's page 982, starting to read at verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." When the woman came and knelt before him, "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. Our second reading is on page 972 of the Pew Bibles. That's Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go. Let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that moment. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thinking back to last week reminds me of the old joke, who's the largest person in the Bible? The woman of Samaria. Okay, I better tell my agent I'm not going to the Edinburgh Festival. So using your high-tech swiping or your old-fashioned bookmark or finger, I am going to refer to both readings in Matthew in today's talk. But first, let me pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can learn from it. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit to give us what you would have us learn as we hear and study today. Amen. So let's do a bit of context first. Jesus withdraws in chapter 15. He goes to the region of Tyre and Sidon. That's right up in the northwest, what we might call foreign territory. It's like going to Scotland. No, I'm not. I love Scotland. That is not a serious comment. And people of that region would be very diverse in their origins and their heritage. Why did he go there? Well, perhaps to avoid conflict with the Pharisees and the elders. Jesus was trying to control the timing of things. And that's significant. Jewish leaders were starting to reject him. But it's a Gentile woman who hardly knows him who comes seeking mercy. In chapter 8, the story of the centurion, Jesus healed the leper and then entered the city of Capernaum, which is on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, quite north. It's where Jesus first began his ministry after relocating from Nazareth in Matthew 4. And it's where he called his first disciples, also in Matthew chapter 4. Now, a centurion is a Roman military officer. He's called a centurion because he has 100 people under him. Century, 100. And one or two people above him in the sort of hierarchy of the military. But as a Roman, he was also a Gentile. He wasn't part of the Jews, the chosen race. And he was used to a hierarchy. People below me do what I tell them. I do what my masters tell me. So he's definitely there to maintain Roman power over Jews. So let's look at those two readings. And I've got three little sections, which I've called Approaching Jesus and the Initial Reaction, The Dialogue Continues, and Jesus' Ultimate Response. So let's start with the Approaching Jesus and the Initial Reaction. The Canaanite woman starts with, Lord, Son of David. That suggests that she believes he's the promised Messiah, a Jewish king. And she knows her place. She demonstrates humility. But saying that, of course, she was desperate for her daughter, so she would cry out for mercy from the visiting Jewish king. The centurion has heard of Jesus' miraculous power and seeks him out. He addresses Jesus, his Jewish subject, remember. He addresses Jesus with the title of respect, Lord. And he also has a request, this time for his servant. The centurion seems to have set aside his busy affairs to travel 5 miles, or 8 kilometres if you like, 5 miles or so to have this encounter with Jesus for the sake of his servant. So I think we can guess he really loves his servant. Jesus' initial answers reflect that he is indeed the Jewish Messiah. But he does go on to show that he's the Messiah for all, linking to Faye's talk, God's kingdom is beyond boundaries. We read in John 3:16, the famous verse, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He was the promised Jewish Messiah who came into his own, but his own rejected him. Read that in John 1 at Christmas. But he turned to the Gentiles. Part 2. The dialogue continues. Well, the Canaanite woman is not put off. So, even more humility, she knelt before him and begged, Lord, help me. A cry of humility and desperation, yet demonstrating a firm belief that Jesus was the one. Jesus pushed her a little further, reminding her of the historic distinction between the cursed Canaanites and the blessed Israelites. In the short saying, the Jews are the children and the Gentiles are the dogs. That's meant, the word that's translated dogs there is meant as a family pet. Yes, they're looked after and cared for, but they're still below the children. So the children get fed first. But the woman is persistent, and she takes up this analogy with Jesus. Even the dogs get the crumbs after the children have eaten. The crumbs have dropped on the floor. Maybe you have a dog, and at dinner time, he or she crawls around under your table waiting for the crumbs. You might recognize that. She acknowledges, she realizes that Jesus is the Messiah who's come to Israel, to the Jews first. She maybe not be able to sit down at his table and eat with the children, but she should be allowed, surely, to pick up some of the crumbs that drop. She wants some of the uncovenanted mercy of God. She wants some of his general saving grace for all. Looking back at the centurion, he continues with quite an astonishing reply. Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. He is so confident. He's not asking Jesus to walk all the way to his house. He believes Jesus can heal his servant there and then. He confesses that, and remember the power relation, he's the occupying power. He confesses that even though a Gentile of considerable power is him as a centurion, he's not worthy for Jesus, a Jewish rabbi, to enter his house. It's another stunning statement of humility. And he follows it up with a declaration of faith. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. The centurion has such great faith in Jesus that he's not only convinced that he has the power to heal his servant, he believes Jesus doesn't even need to be present for it to happen. So section 3, Jesus' ultimate response. In the case of the Canaanite woman, he honours the faith from her that seeks his mercy. She knew that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah who came to heal people, and yet for some reason she was up there in her town. She wanted mercy from him. And this time Jesus responded with emotion, and her faith was rewarded. And she became one of the first Gentiles to enter God's kingdom. With the centurion, Jesus responds by being willingly, instantly to drop and leave all that he was doing and heal a pagan's enemy's servant. Jesus shows that he practices what he preaches. He's willing to go the extra mile and love his enemies. He also shows he'd be willing to enter the house of a Gentile. The key thing is, in both cases, the third party, the daughter and the servant, each of them is healed. So overall, the essential theme, I think, of the passages is that Jesus goes into Gentile territory and does two healing miracles. The Gentile woman with greater faith than many Jews, the Roman centurion at whose faith he marvels. Gentiles who have faith will participate in the kingdom of heaven. God's kingdom is so big, it's available to each and every person who takes Jesus as their saviour. And that's each of us, of course, as well. Remember at the crucifixion, the centurion, presumably not the same centurion, stood there in front of Jesus and saw how he died. And his response was, "Surely this man was the Son of God." So as I finish, I've got 5 questions for us, just to pause and think about our personal faith. It goes without saying we're not Jewish, but we are part of the Gentile world. We are part of the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that's a message for us, that we're to act and take the message of grace to the world, to whoever is seeking mercy and will believe. So think of your first encounter with Jesus, maybe the time just before you met Jesus and realized who he was. Think of the difference it made when you did encounter him and realized who it was. It might be a big Damascus moment. It might be a quiet, still, small voice. Think of the words we use for Jesus, Lord, Saviour, Son of God. Think about how important it is to be humble and to honour who he is. Think of the third parties, the equivalent of the daughter or the servant, for whom we should be praying. And finally, think how all this requires persistence of faith. We have the examples of the Canaanite woman and the centurion. We're called to be persistent in our faith and to call upon Jesus, for we know the miracles he can do in his time and in his way. For the kingdom of God is for everyone, and it's bigger than we can ever imagine. Amen.